None of us, I don't think, could have forecast West Ham and Newcastle on the last in the last weekend of November as being a big match at the start of the season.
No, it's a very different year this year, isn't it? It's peculiar. Strange things are happening. Let's be honest. Only a month ago, Newcastle wouldn't have even come up in this conversation. They were very much in the crisis category. But formidably, they've won five games on the spin. And they've gone from the joke, the basket case of the Premier League, to the success story of the moment. And for a second or two last weekend, just by virtue of staggered kickoff times, they were extraordinarily in the top four. But they start fifth this weekend. Alan Pardew, of course, taking on West Ham, which is a club he managed with some degree of success himself, what, 5 or 6 years ago. And all the elements are there to make that a really gripping, fascinating game.
Peter Drury joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. What I find fascinating about West Ham is, as someone who's watched a lot of football and followed the Premiership closely, not only are they having success, but it's not often you get a team managed by Sam Allardyce that's as easy on the eyes as this team is. They're not only winning, they're fun to watch in the process, aren't they?
Well, yes, they are. It's a funny thing, Jeff, perception, isn't it, in all sport? And I suppose, and listen, I'm as guilty as anyone, we're all in danger sometimes of pigeonholing certain coaches or managers or even clubs in terms of the way they go about things. And Sam Allardyce is certainly one that has been pigeonholed in the mind of us all as playing pretty functional, not always especially watchable football. And at one extreme, I have to say, I think that's sometimes been unfair on him. Sometimes his teams have been, I think, a little more pretty than people have given them credit for, though I understand where people are coming from. Equally, I think this transformation that West Ham have gone through, it doesn't take them to be still the most aesthetically pleasing team in the Premier League, although they've probably sort of gently moved in that direction. The fact is, what's happened is they've begun winning. Mm-hmm. And supporters will forgive an awful lot if the team is winning. And whilst certainly I do take on board your point, they are a more attractive side. There's no question about that. They've set themselves up tactically a little differently this season. I like the role Stuart Downing's playing through the middle now rather than out wide. They've played nice passing football. But you know what? At the end of it all, they've got a couple of big centre forwards who are still heading the ball home. You know, big crosses into the middle very often. And that's fine. That's a way of playing the game. And the fans love it when their team wins full stop. And sort of all of the side issues tend to get forgotten.
When did it come together for Newcastle United, Peter? Was there a decision, a tactical decision Alan Pardew made? We're hearing stories now that during that sort of that 3 week period of crisis, when even Alan Pardew says that he thought he might lose his job, that Colaccini and some of the other veteran players approached Mike Astley and said, look, he still has the support of the guys in the locker room. Whatever you're hearing, whatever you may imagine, he still has our support. Was that kind of a turning point, or was there a match or a particular strategic decision you saw that really kind of shifted things in Alan Pardew's favor?
I think the story you tell, Jeff, if it's accurate, that I've every reason to believe it is very much fundamental to the whole Newcastle narrative, if you like, because Alan Pardew, as you imply, has had to demonstrate incredibly thick skin. I mean, this guy has been under as much pressure, really, as it's possible to be as a club football coach or manager in a city, Newcastle, which is massively passionate about its club, and which is in itself a goldfish bowl. You know, there is no escape. And he was being lampooned. He was being vilified from the stands at St. James's Park. He was having a terrible, terrible time. And the fact that his players came out and said, hang on, this isn't his fault. He's doing everything right. We're just losing games, I think counted for a lot in the narrative. But again, I mean, reverting to what I just said about West Ham and Sam Allardyce and perception, you know, once the team wins, it's funny how all the problems go away.
Mm-hmm.
And based perhaps on that team spirit, but based on the fact that that weekend they kicked off against Leicester, I think it was, at the start of the run, they got a pretty unspectacular 1-0 home win against a newly promoted team. Nothing special about it, but it was a win. And it gave them a weekend off, if you like. It gave them a chance to breathe, and they breathed and they won again. And they breathed and they won again, and then they did it twice more. And from having 4 points in the first 8 games of the season, they picked up 15 more from the next 5. And all of a sudden, we're looking at them as potential European contenders. And I must say, Alan Pardew is someone who divides opinions hugely, just as Newcastle do. They play in black and white. There is no grey area.
Mm.
You know, you have to admire the guy. Extraordinary what he's lived through. And I think, whilst you can never afford to be smug and take it easy in the Premier League, he can afford himself a smile of significant inner pride at what he's achieved over the last month.
Peter Drury joins us on the Jeff Blair Show again. This is the schedule on Saturday, 9:30 a.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. Man U against Hull City, 9:30 a.m. on Sportsnet 1. The match we've talked about, West Ham United versus Newcastle United, 9:30 a.m. on Sportsnet World, Liverpool against Stoke, and at 12 p.m. on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet World, Sunderland against Chelsea. The match that you will be working this weekend, one with huge implications, Southampton against Man City. Man City pulled one out. Well, Sergio Aguero pulled one out against Bayern Munich in the Champions League this week. But Peter, I'm fascinated with Southampton. They've been one of the dominant teams. They haven't just been a surprise team. They've dominated. They've shipped 6 goals in their first 12 matches. Now they start a run of matches against Manchester City, Arsenal, and Manchester United. One of those is away, so at least they do have 2 of those games at home. This, safe to say, this is where the rubber, do you think, where the rubber meets the road for Southampton, and we get a real sense of whether or not they'll have staying power? I will take that as a yes. I think we dropped Peter's line, or Peter's line fell. I'll repeat that again. I'll give you the schedule on Sportsnet. 9:30 a.m. This is Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Manchester United against Hull City. That's on Sportsnet Ontario. Sportsnet 1 will have West Ham and Newcastle United at 9:30. 9:30 on Sportsnet World, Liverpool against Stoke. Noon on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet World, Sunderland against Chelsea. And Chelsea, it's done and dusted. Chelsea's going to win the Premiership. Everybody else is just kind of jockeying for Champions League spot. We'll also have online, we'll also have the Queen's Park Rangers QPR against Leicester City as well, if you want to watch that. So that's a lot of footy in the weekend. The other big match, Southampton and Man City. And we do have Peter Drury back on the line. We can't forget Peter? All right. The other big match is Southampton and Man City. And again, Southampton was a team. Well, let's take a look at what Southampton was about. Southampton essentially sold a lot of their young core during the transfer period, during the summer. Luke Shaw, Adam Lallana were both sold. Ricky Lambert, not necessarily young, but very much a part of the core of that team. He was sold. And there was a lot of talk at the time going into the start of the season that Southampton would be a relegation candidate. And I did an interview with Ralph Kruger, the former Oilers head coach, who is the CEO of Southampton. And he made the point that, look, we sold these players because we were getting a lot of money in return. It was good value for us. It was money that we could put to use, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, most people looked at that and thought, nah, you had a fire sale. Well, as it turns out, it wasn't quite a fire sale. They hired Ronald Koeman as coach, and he's pretty much had the magic touch right out of the gate, and there you are, Southampton. 6 goals allowed in their first 12 matches. No longer relegation favorites. Indeed, the question people have now is whether or not they will in fact be able to hang on to their position and may figure in a Champions League spot. We do have Peter Drury. We're very pleased that he's back with us. Peter, you'll be working that game, Southampton and Manchester City. It's a start of a run of tough games for Southampton. This is where we'll find out, I think, whether or not they have staying power, won't we?
Oh, absolutely. This is the reality now. The game against Manchester City on Sunday now is absolutely delicious. Just before I inadvertently left you there, Jeff, I heard you mentioning the Champions League game that Manchester City played in the week, which was extraordinary, and the outcome of which I think could have a huge impact on their state of mind, really, their self-belief, their sense that they can remain a champion club. So they will go down to Southampton in really brilliant shape. But Southampton's self-belief is beyond question at the moment because it exceeds all expectation. Or at least it exceeds the expectation that we all held on their behalf at the start of the season. But we've become accustomed to the idea now of believing that they are worthy of where they sit in the Premier League table. They played some delicious football. Funny enough, I haven't seen them live since the opening weekend of this season when they went to Liverpool and they lost 2-1. And everyone thought, well, that's a standard result. But came away thinking, you know what, Southampton, who sold all their best players, you know, they did pretty well there. And we were slightly patronising in our attitude and thought, well, perhaps they'll be okay, but that's about as good as it'll be, and God bless them and on your way. But the truth is that that performance, though not that result, that performance has turned out to be a genuine indicator of the threat they can be. And there are a lot of neutrals now, a lot of neutral football observers in this country, in the UK, wishing them well, hoping that this run does continue, because it would really freshen up the top four or five, six of the Premier League. It would act as an alarm to the big clubs. It will just add an element to our season that perhaps has been missing over recent years. Just that wild card, new team that livens things up at the top.